Good morning, Emmanuel. On this lovely morning, which has turned out far better than it earlier threatened, I'm afraid, for those of you who were up at the crack of dawn like myself. It's my pleasure to be the minister's chaplain this morning, and on our behalf, I bid you all a warm welcome and extend that same welcome to those who may be listening to us by means of our recorded ministry. And if there are any new visitors, please make yourself known to us. And there is a visitor's book at the back if you would wish to sign it. I've got to make an apology for the last minute publication of the weekly news. That was a piece of extra work which was done to ensure that everybody who needed it had a copy. But if you don't have a copy and you have access to the internet, you can see it there. There are a few extra notices which I would like to draw to your attention. And the first one is on the subject of church flowers. If you know of anybody who might welcome some flowers as a reminder that we're thinking of them, please let us know and we will do our best to pass it on. The second one is that after a year and a half of not meeting at the church meeting, we now feel we can do so. So please keep these dates in mind. That is next Sunday, the 7th of November, and the following month on the 5th of December. And on that subject, Remembrance Day, Thursday the 11th of November, the church will be open for private prayer between 10:45 and 11:15. At 11 o'clock, there will be a 2-minute silence. And on Sunday the 14th of November, our morning service at 10:30 will be the Remembrance Day service, when we connect with the cenotaph for the 2-minute silence. And at 4 o'clock, our service for remembering our loved ones will take place. Our reader this morning is Pam Weston, and she has two readings, one from the book of Hebrews and the second one from the book of Mark. I'm sure you've all heard enough of me, so what I will do now is I shall light the Christ candle. We'll have a few minutes reflection before we begin our service.
Good morning, Emmanuel. God, our Creator, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the gift of our lives, for the lives of our family members, that of our friends, and our friends in Christ in church. We thank you, Lord, for directing, protecting, guiding, guarding, governing, and taking care of us throughout our lives. Merciful God, bless this church and all the people in it, for this morning we submit ourselves into your mighty hands. May you fill us with your wisdom and grant us good health as we undertake your worship today. Lord, bless the work of our hands and our minds so that all we do today may be fulfilling, helpful to humanity, and may we do it according to your holy will and for the greater glory of your name. Amen. Oh, sorry. I forgot about the introit. It is written down here, introit, first thing. And I'm going to hand you over to the choir now, who are excellent.
Thank you.
I told you they were good. And also thanks to Shelley Morgan filling in this morning while Jeff is away. Thank you, Shelley. We've heard the choir sing. Let's now all sing together. Number 658 in Rejoice and Sing. For all the saints who from their labours rest. 658. Let's join together in prayer. And after our prayers of confession and thanksgiving, we say together the Lord's Prayer. God be with us today as we celebrate your world and the gift of Christian fellowship with those we know and love. We think of those who have served you all their lives and given of their time and talents to serve in your name and to bring your love to those they know and live as an example of Christianity. We confess that we find it hard to live as modern Christians in this world. We find it difficult to find space in our lives for you. We are distracted by the world around us. We worry that we fall short of our expectations for ourselves and your expectations for us. We admit to our readiness to anger, to worry, to our lack of compassion and love of humanity. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus in this world, who taught us to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Jesus, who showed us how to stand up to the temptations and distractions in our lives. Jesus, the servant, who taught us how to serve others instead of serving ourselves. God Almighty, all-knowing and all-loving, we celebrate together today the lives of those Christians who put you first. We celebrate all the known saints and those who have just been saintly towards us and have been so for no glory other than to show another person your love. Help us to take this love into the world today, this week, and forevermore. And we ask all this in your name. Amen. Amen. And let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now Pam Weston is going to take the service forward with our two readings.
First reading is from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28, and can be found on page 218 of the New Testament. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number, but because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, and separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. This he did once for all, when he offered himself. For the law appoints high priests, those who are subject to weaknesses. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. And the second reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, and can be found on page 46. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is the one. And besides him, there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength. And to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pam. There's a postscript to my reflections, which I'll tell you at the end. If you think I've forgotten, just let me know, and I'll tell you what that postscript is. Then there's the anthem, which I won't forget. Okay, so here we go. Today is Halloween, or you could call it All Hallows' Eve. Hallow, in Old English, means holy or sacred, so a church's hallowed ground. Therefore, Hallow's Eve, or Halloween, simply means the evening of holy persons and refers to the evening before All Saints' Day, which is tomorrow, November the 1st, in both the Anglican and Catholic calendars. In the early years, when the Roman Empire persecuted Christians, so many martyrs died for their faith that the church set aside special days to honour them, saints' days and so on. For example, in 607 AD, the Emperor Phocas presented to the Pope the beautiful Roman Pantheon temple. The Pope removed all the statues of Jupiter and the pagan gods and consecrated the Pantheon to All Saints, who had died from Roman persecution in the first 300 years after the death of Christ. Many bones were brought from other graves and placed in the rededicated Pantheon. Since there were too many martyrs to be given a day each, they were all lumped together into one day. In the next century, All Saints' Day was changed by Pope Gregory III to tomorrow's date, November the 1st. And people prepared for their celebration with a night of vigil on Hallow's Eve, Halloween. In the 10th century, the abbot Adela from the Cluny Monastery added the next day, November the 2nd, as All Souls' Day, to honour not just the Christian martyrs, but all Christians who have died. People prayed for the dead, but many unchristian superstitions continued. People in Christian lands offered food for the dead, as it had been in pagan times. But the superstitious also believed that on these 2 days, souls in purgatory would take the form of witches, toads, or demons. I don't know why toads get singled out. And they haunt persons who have wronged them in their lifetime. As happens so often in church history, a sacred Christian festival can absorb so many pagan customs that their significance as Christian holidays wanes, which is why today, why tonight, you'll find people dressed up as ghosts or vampires or zombies. I've actually no problem at all with the Gothic side of Halloween. I'm a lifelong Christian, but I'm also a lifelong horror fan. And there's a cathartic element to horror stories and films, but I'm not going to bang on about that in these remarks. I've also noticed a trend in the UK at Halloween. Again, this is probably something that's seeped over from the States, that people have started to wear all kinds of fancy dress now, not just scary fancy dress. And you're just as likely to bump into a princess or a unicorn or a Marvel superhero or an octopus at Halloween as you are to meet Frankenstein's monster wandering around the streets of Swindon. All Saints and All Souls give us a chance to celebrate, actually, the life of those who dedicated their time on earth to serve God, to share faith, and to be good Christians. We celebrate the saints, but we also celebrate the saintly. Not everyone gets to be a saint, but we all can do saintly things. Think of Halloween positively. Who are your favourite heroes in Christian history? Can you think of anyone whose example has inspired you? And why not use All Saints' Day to think of and to give thanks for as many Christians from the past as you can remember, whether they are famous or not, especially if their lives and teaching contributed something perhaps to yours? In the reading from Hebrews today, we found out something about the best kind of priest, and by extension of that, what the best kind of Christian should be. They should be holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and above all, exalted in the heavens. I don't know about you, but that for me is quite a tall order. We're not just in this world, we're of this world, and it's not easy to be sinless or blameless in life. But Jesus does try and fulfill that ideal. Jesus, in fact, in our second reading, gives us something a bit more achievable for us to aim for. When questioned by the scribes, and it's always the scribes, Jesus says, first, you have to love God, and second, you have to love your neighbour as you love yourself. Love God, love your neighbour. It's exactly the same sort of lesson as when we sing in the hymn, a new commandment I give unto you, you must love one another as I have loved you. And no command has ever been so simple, or indeed, so complex. Especially when you take neighbours in its broader sense, to meet everyone. It means the good, the bad. As Robert and Jeff are fond of saying, those we love, those we find difficult to love. Who else does it include? It includes perhaps the poor, the homeless, the drunks and the disorderly, the strangers, the criminals, the fools, those who actively hate us. You must, says Jesus, love them all. So who are our Christian heroes then that we ought to celebrate at this time of year? I'd argue the ones who perhaps put their faith ahead of their own interests and attempted to love their neighbour, who reached out to those who needed God's love most, even though they perhaps challenged them. And being saintly, of course, doesn't mean being a holier-than-thou type or a goody-two-shoes. And in that light, I'd like to talk to you about the Reverend Leon Aitken. Born in Spalding, Lincolnshire, 26th of July, 1902, the son of a gas manager, Leon Aitken, was one of seven children. The family lived next door to the Methodist chapel. And although they were Anglicans, Leon, as a child, attended the Methodist activities and became a Methodist. The family moved in 1914 to Biddulph, and in 1916 he became a boy preacher, which brought him a great deal of publicity that he thoroughly enjoyed. After serving an apprenticeship as an engineer, he was accepted as a student for the ministry and received his training at the Methodist College in Handsworth, Birmingham, and he was appointed a probationer minister at St. John's Church, Risker, Gwent, in 1930. He was moved in 1932 to the Methodist Central Hall in Bargoed, up the Rumney Valley. And in a short period of time, he transformed that institution. Atkin used large chapel and its schoolroom to assist the unemployed by opening the building every day of the week, not just Sundays. He established a shoe repairing workshop, a barber shop, and a kitchen which provided free meals. He converted part of the building as a hostel for 28 young unemployed people who were denied the dole because their fathers earned a few shillings too much under the means test. Allowing unemployed, homeless men to lodge at Central Hall also gave them an address which enabled them to claim benefit. And this angered the authorities, and Atkins was threatened with prosecution for obstructing the administration of His Majesty's government. His response was to criticise the Labour Party, a party he'd joined at the age of 16, and the churches in Wales for being so ineffective. The leaders within the synod were so disturbed with him about this that they arranged for him to be moved to Cornwall. Atkins refused their request. At this time, the Reverend Edward Morgan, he was a Congregationalist minister in Cardiff, heard of Atkins' refusal and suggested to a number of chapels belonging to this denomination that they invite him as their minister. Invitations came from Mountain Ash, Swansea, and Ely in Cardiff. Atkin chose the weakest of the three, St. Paul's in Swansea. It only had 12 members and a debt of £2,000, quite a lot in the 30s. Immediately, he began in Swansea his open-air ministry, holding meetings in a place called the Forum. His congregation grew at St. Paul's from 12 to 200 on Sunday nights in the winter and up to 500 in the summer. But his relationship with the Congregational Union of England and Wales was fraught with tension, as he was not conducive to any of the positive suggestions on their part, and as he had a high profile within the Labour Party for fighting against fascism. On one occasion, he confronted Oswald Mosley when Mosley and his black shirts visited the town. Taking the local heavyweight boxing champion, Jimmy Wilde, for protection to where Mosley was speaking, he told the leader of the British Union of Fascists, "I work for a Jew." And when Mosley said, "Well, sir, you should not," Atkin revealed his dog collar. The place went into uproar, and Mosley never returned to Swansea again. In 1940, perhaps inspired by this, he discarded his pacifist views and joined the Royal Artillery. And when the United Chaplains Board heard of his decision, he was invited to become an army chaplain. During his chaplaincy in the Netherlands, he heard that his deacons at St. Paul's had terminated his ministry. And when he returned to Swansea, he realized the chapel had been locked. He regained the initiative by holding open-air addresses outside the church, and with the support of ex-servicemen, Atkins again settled with his family at St. Paul's, this time without the formal support of the Congregational Union. And he continued to battle with the authorities, such as the local council in Swansea, for illegally showing films on Sunday evenings after the service without a license. But Atkins developed his ministry amongst needy people, and his care for the disadvantaged and the down-and-outs became known through his articles in the press and his work in the town. In the bitter winter of 1947, his chapel became a refuge for dozens of people who would have otherwise perished. He visited weekly, every Friday, the public houses of Swansea to collect money to enable poor children from Swansea to enjoy Guy Fawkes nights, pantomimes and circuses. Atkin was one of those people who was not content within any movement or organization. He was a maverick, an extreme individual who missed few opportunities to taunt nonconformism and the labor rights. He liked to drink, and his love of alcohol was a failing in the eyes of most ministers and churchgoers in West Glamorganshire. Wales has quite a checkered history of drink, particularly on Sundays. But he would often drink in the company of Dylan Thomas. Famously, he was one of the last people to take a drink with him at the Bush in Swansea before Dylan went on his fatal trip to New York City. But Atkin's life and witness were unique, and he was a controversial figure for at least 42 years in Swansea and the district. And he died in Swansea on the 27th of November, 1976. What the story of Lee and Atkins shows us is that none of us are perfect. Some of us are downright awkward and a pain in the neck. But he was also a well-known figure in Swansea. He was unique, distinctive in his beret and clerical collar. But he was unpopular with the Labour Party and with the Free Church leaders. And he was no friend at all of authority. But he was, if not a saint, at least a saintly example. One indeed who loved God and loved his neighbour. And so, this Halloween and this All Saints' Day, let us be good neighbours too. Let's use this time not just to show kindness to kids in fancy dress who may knock at our doors and may know nothing of what this evening really is, but also to think about those in our wider society and to celebrate those Christians, saints or just saintly, who are now with God and served as lessons to us today with their Christian love, no matter who they loved in that society. Amen. The postscript to this. Our reflections, as you know, go out on email. They go to the members of this church. They also go a bit wider, because you can do that with email. Margaret Williams, who you all know, she spent a lot of time teaching in Swansea. She knew Leon Atkins. So she has promised to tell us more about that. So if you do see Margaret, mention Leon Atkins to her, because she knew his son. The family, they lived in the crypt of St. Paul's, but he also did lots of other things. He formed his own political parties, wrote books of poetry, quite a bit of stuff going on there. What I will do is try and share some of the pictures of him by email and also on the Facebook page, our little group there that you can have a look. We're going to sing an anthem now, or the choir are going to sing an anthem. I say we because I'm joining them. It's a setting of Wesley's Lead Me, Lord. Mike will now bring forth our offering. All good gifts come from you, dear Lord, and from these riches we bring this offering. Help us to use it for the furtherance of your purpose in this place and for the benefit of all those in need. Amen. We say together the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. We're going to sing together hymn number 557 from Rejoice and Sing. Who would true valour see? Let him come hither. Otherwise known as To Be a Pilgrim. David is now going to come forward and read for us our prayers of intercession.
You may note a recurring theme through these prayers this morning for two reasons. Firstly, the conference on climate change that takes place in Glasgow during this week. And secondly, today is Reformation Sunday, when Martin Luther's vision of reform came forth, and perhaps reform is something we need very much at this moment in time. When I say, Lord, hear us, would you please say, Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your church throughout the world, that we may be faithful to our baptism. With the dawn of each day, may we be wakened to the beauty of the earth and rejoice in its wonder and diversity of creation in all its forms and colour. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord of life, as all living things depend on good quality of air, the soil, and water, may your wisdom guide us as we care for the environment. Deliver us from selfishness and greed. Help us share the rich resources of the world gladly and justly in the cause of stability and peace between nation and people. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord of mercy, we bring before you areas affected by chronic shortage of water and pray for those suffering as a result of drought or the lack of safe water to drink. We pray also for those suffering from the extremes of weather, whose environments may be damaged by cyclones, flood, or destructive wildflowers. May we better understand the effects of changing patterns in the weather on our planet. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord of abundant life, we give thanks for the rich harvest of the seas. May we cherish the good things that you have created and be successful in reducing the pollution in the oceans, rivers, and lakes, that life may flourish. May your wisdom help us to reign the diversity and biodiversity of our fragile planet. Strengthen our resolve and bless the efforts of all those who seek to protect marine, animal, insect, and plant life that are threatened by extinction. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord of creation, you have placed us on this earth to care for it, to call us to be co-workers with Christ, your Son. Bless our farmers, those who work in nature reserves and national parks, in our areas of outstanding national beauty and sites of scientific interest, and to all who are custodians of the landscape. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord of the universe, you have made us from the stuff of the earth, and to the earth we will return. May we tread lightly upon this earth and succeed in innovation and development of sources of renewable energy and green technology. By your grace, may we live our days wisely, sustainably, and at last come with all your saints into paradise and enjoy creation made new. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, David. We've got a lot to do to take away with us today, haven't we? We've got to love our neighbours, love the world, love creation. And the power of prayer is really important in that. At least it's the least that we can do, our contribution to this world. Let us join together in a hymn to finish out the service. It's number 740, Tell Out My Soul, the Greatest of the Lord. A large celebration, if you like, of Lord's entry into this world and what we can do here. 740. Rejoice and sing.
Thank you.
Make known his might, the deeds his arm has done, his mercy sure from age to age the same. And God, keep us in your steadfast love as we go out into the world today. Help us to live by your example. Let your love shine through us, through all that we do now and every day. And remind us to be kind to ourselves, to be kind to each other, and to be kind to this world. Amen.